I hope you had a good Christmas with family and friends. I wonder if you got any good presents for Christmas. Won't go round, but hopefully you did. Just want to tell you about, it links to the preach as a little bit of an introduction, but I just want to tell you my main present from my wonderful wife, Jen, was this little box, which looks just like a little box, but it's actually a night away at a nice hotel, 250 to choose from in the UK. Two people, so she benefits from it. So nice Christmas present when you benefit from it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So during this year, a night away, a nice hotel somewhere in the UK. That was my main present from Jen. But there's something about this present that really links into today's preaching series and today's talk. And that's this. So this box is a paid up night at one of 250 boutique or nice hotels somewhere in this country. There it is, paid up. But in order to enjoy the experience, in order to enjoy the night at the hotel, in order to enjoy the experience, you need to go onto the website, choose your hotel, put in the code, and then go to the hotel itself to enjoy the experience. You know, for so many of us, we have promises that God has given us. We have promises, both general, that are for all believers in Scripture, and specific promises that God has spoken over us. And we have them, and we know them. Here they are. And we look at them and we read them and we go, what a wonderful promise from God for every believer. Or what a wonderful promise from God, especially for me. But we need to go and redeem that promise. We need to go and cash in that promise. We need to go and enjoy and live out that promise that God has given us. You see, I believe at the beginning of this year, so many of us are in a position where we are not fully living the Christian life that God called us to. And we are not fully living the destiny and the calling that God has over us. Why? Main reason, because we are not living out the promises that God has given us. We are not walking and living out the promises that God has given us. We are not taking God at His word and being obedient to God's word and living out the promises that God has given us. This new series called Fighting for Your Destiny over the next 6 or 7 weeks is going to be looking at Joshua, the book of Joshua, the first 10 chapters in the book of Joshua. And Joshua is a book of conquest. It's a book of taking the land. It's a book of fulfilling promises. You see, promises that God had given the Israelites, finally in Joshua, we see them fulfilled. Genesis 12 and verse 7, God promises Abraham the land of Canaan. 650 years pass before the Israelites then take the land. That promise becomes a reality. 40 years after coming out of the Exodus, after the Passover, after coming out of Egypt, 40 years later, finally, the Israelites just enter the promised land, and the promise that God gave them is finally fulfilled. Joshua is a book where God's people take the land. It's a book where promises are fulfilled. And I believe it's incredibly significant for us at the start of 2018 that as church, Hope Church, and as individuals in this room, we take the land that God has given us. This, I believe, is a real now series, a real now word for today, for this season that we are in. It's a call to action as a church and a call to action as individuals. We are to cash in on the promise. We are to act and use and enjoy the promises that God has given to us. Let's go to scripture. We're going to read the whole of Joshua chapter 1. It'll come up on the screen, or you can follow on your Bible or on your phone. But we're going to read Joshua chapter 1 from verse 18 right through to verse 18. I'm going to read it from the screen, and here we go. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the river Jordan into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. In 2018, you may ask this question. How do I get where I want to be? Here I am on the 7th of January in a position at work, in a position of relationships, in the position in your life. How do I get from here to there? How do I get from here to there? How do I see God's promises fulfilled? And we're going to look at four things out of this passage where we can see God's promises fulfilled, and how we as individuals and as a church can get from here to there. Verse 1 to 4, we are to start by taking up the challenge. Take up the challenge. It says very clearly in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, you now take the land. God's saying, look, the old has passed. Joshua, you need to hear this. Moses is no more. The old has gone. It's no more. There's a new day. There's a day of challenge. There's a day of conquest. There's a day of action for you. So many of you need to hear this, that 2017 is past. It is finished. Whatever happened then, whatever bad decisions you may have made, whatever may have come out of your mouth that you wish never came out of your mouth, whatever mess you made of different parts of your life, you need to hear that 2017 has now passed. It is over. And the word to Joshua and the word to you is now arise, go and take the land. Arise. There's a new challenge. There's a new day. There's a new year ahead. It's so important you see that word in verse 2. That word that says now. Now. Not waiting until 2019. Not putting it off yet again for another year. But now. Now Joshua had been with the Israelites for many, many years. He knew them inside out. He knew their weaknesses and their limitations. He knew what a moaning bunch they were. He knew that when he went as a spy into Canaan in Numbers, that him and Caleb were the only ones that came out full of faith. He knew what these people were like. And he was probably well past middle age, into his 60s or 70s. We don't know exactly. But he was, you know, not a young man. And yet he still, knowing the Israelites, at his stage of life, he still said, yes, I will take this challenge. I accept this challenge. Now, I think there's two things that often stop us from taking the challenge. I think there's two things, both of which Joshua faced, that stop us from the now, that we put it off because of these two things. One is difficulties, obstacles that we see ahead. Now, you need to know that we know from Joshua 3 and verse 15 that the time of year that God called Joshua to take the land was a time of flood. It was a time when the Jordan was up high. Now, Joshua could have said, hold on, God, can we just wait until the water has gone down and then it will be easier to cross the Jordan and get into the land of Canaan? Surely, God, it's better on a practical level to wait. But God said, no, now. Now is the moment. Now is the time. Many of you, there are obstacles to seeing God's promises fulfilled in your life. There are obstacles from you fighting for your destiny that God has called you to. But you are to not worry about those obstacles. You are to trust God and walk into the promised land. Because you see, God's power works greatest when the obstacles are biggest. You know, and many of us, we use obstacles and difficulties as an excuse not to take up the challenge that God has given us. It's a now word. It's a now word to take up that challenge. It's a now word to trust God's power. It's a now word to walk out the promises and the challenges and the things that God has given you. So the obstacles is one thing that often stops us from the now, taking up the challenge. The second thing is the unknown. We don't take up the challenge that God has called us to. We don't live out the promises that God has given us. Why? Because we don't know what the future holds. You see, the Israelites had for 40 years wandered around the wilderness. And now God was telling Joshua to take them into an unknown land where they had never been before. They would not really know what they would face. They would not really know the terrain. They would not know all the people they might meet. And the temptation would have been to stay the other side of the Jordan. The temptation would have been to stay with what they knew. But Joshua, he took up the challenge. He said, no, now is the time. Now is the moment to take the land. Most of us here, we fear the unknown, and so we settle for the problems and the situation that we are in rather than to face the unknown. We may be in a difficult marriage or a difficult relationship, and we know that to sort that out will be challenging and unknown and counseling and help and vulnerability. So we just think, well, I'll just stick with my not so good and not so perfect marriage. Or we're in a miserable job where we hate it. And the challenge is to leave that job and apply for a new one. But that's a bit unknown. And what if we don't get a job straight away? And what if there's a period when we're unemployed? Or what if we don't get the job we want? Or what if things don't quite work out? And so we just stay with the miserable job that we have. Or we have a dream. We have something that God has told us to do. We have a calling over our lives. But because the outworking of that dream is not known, because the outworking of that dream is not a simple two-step policy, we just think, well, it's too scary. I'll look too silly. People will laugh at me. It's too big. It's too way beyond me. So you know what? I'll just stay, hold on to my dream, cuddle it, and I won't live it, and I won't walk it out. You see, following God into an unknown territory, we need to get this. Following God into an unknown territory is actually the most exciting thing we can do. It's the most exciting thing because it draws us to dependency on Him. It draws us to depend on Him every step. God, I need you. I don't know what's happening. God, I need you. I don't know what's happening. God, I need you. I don't know what's happening. It just forces us to depend on Him for every day and every victory. So in 2018, my challenge to you is this now word. This now word of action, to take up that challenge and to live it out. Whatever the difficulties and obstacles, whatever the unknown may be, pick it up and go for it. The past has gone. This is a new day. It's a now word. That's the first thing. Take up the challenge. The second thing, and it's wonderful because it goes hand in hand, is that God is committed to you. There's a challenge, but God is 100% committed to you. Let's look at verse 5. You can put verse 5 up, Anna. This verse is a wonderful verse. Because in it, we see that as Joshua takes up the challenge, he is assured of God's commitment to him. It's like God saying to Joshua, if you accept the challenge, I'm 100% in every step of the way. And you need to know that that true of Joshua is true of you. If you accept the challenge that God gives you, if you accept the challenge, the now word, to walk out the destiny that God has called you to, He is with you 100%. Look at this verse, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's what God says to Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. God's reminding Joshua that no one will be able to stand against Israel as they go into the promised land and they face these giants and these walled cities like Jericho. No one's going to be able to stand against them. God's power is what conquers the promised land. God's power is what conquers Jericho. God's power is what defeats the foreign armies. It's God's power. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He promises that the same power and authority is there for you. It's there for you. Victory over the enemy, victory over the obstacles that you face is there, not in your own strength, but in the power and the authority of Jesus. I could give you many, many verses, but let me give you one verse. 1 John 5, verse 4 to 5. This is not often quoted, but just listen to this. Listen to this about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? By believing Jesus is the Son of God, we have victory over the world. We have authority. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Victory is yours in Christ Jesus. You have victory through Jesus Christ. That's the first part of the promise in verse 5. The second part is that there's also a personal presence. There's a powerful presence. There's a personal presence. Verse 5b, the third part of it, it says, I was with Moses, so I will also be with you. So I was with Moses, so I will also be with you. Joshua would have known the personal relationship that Moses had with God. Moses went up to the mountainside. God communed with him personally. God gave him the Ten Commandments. Moses spent time in the tent of meeting with God. Here is God telling Joshua that what Moses had, you will have also. It's a personal, wonderful communion between the living God and Joshua. It's God reminding Joshua that, look, I'm there for you in a personal way. Whatever challenge you may face, I'm there for you personally. As believers, as Christians, be reminded that God is there for you personally every day in every situation. Matthew 28, the last verse in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, I will be with you always to the end of the time. I will be with you always, personally, in every situation, in the darkness, in the joys, in the sorrow, in your workplace, at bed at night, with the difficult friendship you have, with every area of your life. I'm there. I'm there. Because, you know, it's so glorious to know the personal nature of the gospel, the personal nature that God comes and lives and dwells inside of us, that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we have the personal presence of God with us every single day. And it's not finished. Verse 5 is not finished, because then it goes on and says there's a permanent presence. I will never leave you or forsake you, God says to Joshua. What a glorious assurance that Joshua knows he will never be alone. He will never face a challenge without God beside him. The same commitment God makes to you. He will never leave you or forsake you. In the tough times and in the struggles and in the darkness, God is there. What a wonderful promise. When we take up the challenge, we can know that God is completely committed to us. Completely. We have his power. We have the personal relationship with him. And we have the permanent presence of God in every situation. How wonderful. What hope that fills my heart. What strength that fills my heart. To know that when the obstacles come and the unknown comes, God's power is in me. He's personally invested in me. And he will never leave me or forsake me. Third thing. We're to take the challenge. We're to know God's completely committed to us. And then we're to be obedient to God's commandments. Verse 7 and 8. Say this. Be careful to do according to all the law. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. You see, God told Joshua that he was to obey the law of God. Every part of the law of God. To move into the promised land, to claim the victory, Joshua and God's people were to be obedient. If they wanted the victory that God had ordained for them, they were to be obedient. They were to follow his commands to the letter. They were to follow his guidance. They were to follow God's promptings. They were to follow the law that was there for them. You see, in our lives, if we're going to see victory, if we're going to see the fulfillment of dreams, if we're going to see the fulfillment of God's calling on our lives, it needs obedience to God's word. Now let me say, we are under God's grace. We live this side of the cross. We are under God's grace. There's God's forgiveness when we do things wrong. God's love never dries up. God's love just never ever stops giving. We have a place in heaven, whatever we do. But if we want to live the life that God has called us to, if we want to live to the destiny of what God has called each of us to do, then we need to live in obedience to God's word, in obedience to his scriptures. And there's two things about God's scripture and about living in obedience to his scripture. And that it's complete and that it's consistent. Verse 7 says that it's about following all of the law. Follow all of the law in our lives. You see, there's a tendency in Christianity today, there's a tendency in the world today to pick and choose. I like this bit of scripture, but I don't like that bit of scripture. I like what Jesus says there, but I don't like what he says there. So I'll take this bit and I'll discard this bit. That's the tendency in our culture today. But we're called to obey all of God's instructions. You know, we can so easily have a mindset that goes something like this. I like what the Bible says about the poor and caring for those who are in need, but I don't like what it says about tithing and giving of my resources to the church and to, you know, other things. I like this, but I don't like this. Or we can say, well, I like what the Bible has to say about being kind to your enemies, about forgiving your enemies, but I don't like what it says about sex outside of marriage. You know, we can say I like one thing, but I don't like the other. I like part of it, but I don't like all of it. And you see, in this theme of fighting for your destiny, as we will see in the book of Joshua, the key to it all is the obedience that God's people follow the promptings and the leadings of God's word. And it's so clear in verse 7 that success is clearly linked to being obedient to God's word. Now, success isn't always what the world tells us is success, but success in terms of God's calling in our life, success in terms of the purposes of God, is clearly linked to being obedient to God's word. I was just thinking of one example of this. I've met this man a few times. I wouldn't call him a friend at all, but if you go to Westfield on the ground floor, and if you walk along the bottom floor, just before you get to Waitrose, on your left-hand side is a toy shop called The Entertainer. If you have children, I'm sure you've visited it. There's great gifts, great discounts, great games. Well, you may or may not know, but the man who owns The Entertainer is a Christian. His name is Gary Grant. And if you go to Westfield today, you will see that that shop is shut. It's shut. It's the only shop in the whole of Westfield, I think, that is shut on a Sunday. Now, when Gary Grant had one toy shop up near Amersham, he decided that he would shut it on a Sunday in obedience to God's word, to having a day of rest, a day when his staff could have a day off. Everyone thought he was mad. Everyone thought that his business would falter, that he wouldn't get the profits that he needed. Everyone thought that he was completely bonkers. Well, year in, year out, his business has grown. Year in, year out, he's grown more and more stores. He has opened more stores and more stores in a time when more and more toy shops go to a pop because of the internet and Amazon. His business has grown and grown and grown. And even with the challenge this year, that Christmas Eve was on a Sunday and there would be a huge rush of people, he decided, no, I will still shut my shop. It's the Sabbath. I've always done that in obedience to God's word. So that's just one example. But the truth is that we are called as believers to be obedient to God's word in the big decisions and in the little elements of life. Let's forgive our spouse before the sun goes down. Let's speak well of people, not gossip in the office. Let's share the gospel where we can rather than hide away in the corner. We're called to just completely be obedient to God's word. And in line with that, we're called to not just be completely obedient, but consistent. Verse 8 talks about meditate on God's word day and night. The Hebrew for that word meditate is to chew over. For me, it's like a piece of chewing gum that you put in your mouth, and that peppermint taste, just aroma, goes in your mouth for a good half an hour or so before it loses its taste. It's like we're to meditate. We're to always have the taste of Scripture in our mouth. We're always to have the truth of God's Word going round in our mind. We're to chew on Scripture every day. Whether it be 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. Whether it be half an hour before bed. Whether it be half an hour first thing in the morning. Whether it be reading a Bible plan on an app. Whether it be a physical Bible like this. Whether it be meeting up with a friend when reading the Bible together. Whether it be texting a Scripture from one friend to another. That we drip, 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 drip the Word of God into our hearts and our minds. That God's word would truly be, as the psalmist said, a light unto our path. It would lead us. It would guide us. It would bring us success. It would bring us the destiny that God has called us to. And I don't think that there really is an excuse to not chew, meditate on God's word at some stage in our day. The challenge I've made to myself is, Mark, there really is no excuse not to read God's word at some point in some way during the day. I mean, who cares what the metro has to say, you know, on a morning on the tube? Read the Scripture. Who cares what the latest Facebook post is? Let's read 10 minutes of Scripture instead. Like I said, whatever fits your routine, in the morning, in the evening, an audible Scripture that could be read while you walk along, that could be in the car while you drive along. Let's be consistent, church, in getting God's word drip, 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 drip into our hearts and into our minds. You know, nothing has changed. You need to understand that. But the timeless truths that we're looking at in Joshua, nothing has changed in 2018. If we want to get where God has called us to, if we want to get from here to there, we need to take up the challenge. We know God is committed to us. And then we need to be obedient to God's word as we walk in obedience. Obedience to God's word, complete and consistent. Now there's one final thing that I want to mention in this passage. And truly you could preach a number of different messages from this passage. It's so rich. But there's one final thing I want to mention. And that's this. Courage, courage, courage. What I am talking about takes courage. It takes courage to pick up the challenge and go now. It takes courage to be obedient in today's culture to God's word. It takes courage to live out the destiny and the calling in your life. Four times in chapter 1, there is the word courage or courageous. Four times. Courage, 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 courage. Joshua, take the land. You will need courage, 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 courage. Now listen, if the Bible puts something in there more than once, or certainly three or four times in one chapter, it's for emphasis. It's so that we get this, that it takes courage. Now courage is not the absence of fear, but it's rather pushing through despite the fear. You see, so many of us, we don't do things that God has called us to, or we don't put into practice promises that God has given us. Why? Because we're fearful and we're waiting for the fear to go. Well, let me tell you, the fear probably won't go. What you need is courage from the Lord to then walk through that fear in obedience to the purposes of God. That's what you need. And all through Scripture, you will see that Noah had courage to build the ark. David had courage with his 5 stones and his sling to take on Goliath. Daniel had courage to keep praying and then going into the lion's den. Esther had courage to stand before the king. You know, these Bible characters that we read, that we love, they all exhibited courage. The reason we sometimes forget that is we know the outcome. We know that the lion's mouth was shut. We know that David defeated the giant. But they didn't know that at the time. They stepped out in courage. They didn't know. They stepped out in courage. Now, in verse 10 to 15, Joshua tells the officers to go to the Israelites and get them ready to move across the Jordan. He says, right, I want you to go and tell the people what's going to happen. And in verse 16, the people reply, the officers and the people, they reply, we will do all you say. And then the chapter finishes, verse 18, when it says, be strong and courageous. We could look at that in great detail, but we haven't really got time. This is what I want to say. You see, what Joshua was calling the people to do was going to take huge amount of upheaval and change. It was going to change the whole way that they had lived for 40 years. It was going to change everything that they had been doing for 40 years in the wilderness. They had got manna daily from heaven. Now Joshua is telling them to go into the land and to fight and to gain your own food. They'd been wandering aimlessly around, and now God says, change, go and fight and take the land. They had been wandering and wandering a nomad existence, and now God is telling them, I want you to settle in that land. These were massive changes for the people. Massive changes. It takes courage to change things. It takes courage to see God's victory walked out. Many of you today, you need courage. You need supernatural courage from the Lord to do what you know you need to do. You know you need to take up that challenge that's been on your heart for ages. You know you need to be obedient to God and follow His word. You know you need to make changes in your life in order to then walk into the victory that God has given you. But to do those things takes courage. It takes courage. It's hard. It can be fearful. We can feel like we're on our own, but it takes courage. It takes a supernatural courage from the Lord. I want to conclude and kind of bring this to a close. I hope you hear the heart of this chapter. I hope you hear the relevance to today, the relevance to 2018, the relevance to each of your lives. It's a new day. Last year has passed. Yesterday is gone. Now, arise, take the challenge. Take the land, whatever the difficulties, whatever the unknowns. God is completely committed to you. Be obedient to His word. Every step, be obedient to His word. And God, give us courage. God, give us courage. In closing, I came across this quote about courage. It says, nothing significant in life, in your life, in my life, happens without courage. Nothing significant happens without courage. Asking that girl out for a date that's now your wife, it took courage. Moving jobs to your dream job took courage. Telling your best friend about Jesus, who's now in another church, worshipping the Lord, took courage. We can often forget because we know the results, or because God blessed the courage and God blessed our faith and we saw amazing things happen. But we can often forget that at the time when we had to open our mouth, at the time when we had to step out, at the time when we had to do that difficult thing, it took immense courage. Immense courage. My prayer for us today, as we go from here, is that the Holy Spirit would come and give us supernatural courage to do the challenges that I've laid out before you. Because you cannot do it on your own. And no amount of motivational speaking, no amount of kind of challenging from the front, from any person, can do it. It's only you, filled with the supernatural courage of the Holy Spirit, that can see these things worked out.